Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by talking with Army veterans John Berry Sr. and Jr. and discuss them helping veterans with the VA. Then we'll meet Army veteran Ian Newell, who will discuss transition to civilian employment. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce two Army vets that I know and respect. John Berry Sr., Steve, is, like me, a Vietnam vet. He's also an attorney who started the law firm of Berry Law. Their purpose is to help vets who are having troubles getting their disability approved by the VA. His son, John Berry Jr., now runs the firm. So, welcome, Steve. Glad to have you on the show.
I'm delighted and honored to talk with you again. And let me begin by thanking you not only for your military service, but by your service in this show. And I'm going to start out by making a remark. John and I went to a Vietnam Veterans Memorial groundbreaking service here in Nebraska. And one of the speakers was Chuck Hagel. As you know, Chuck Hagel pulled his brother out of a burning tank. Chuck has a bullet in his chest that is very incrementally moving toward his heart and can't be operated on. He was a United States Senator and he was a Secretary of Defense. And he said, you know, my fellow Vietnam veterans, we weren't thanked for our service. And of course, when people do thank us, we say it was an honor to serve. But he said, think of the other people who serve. And he said, I want you sometime to thank a librarian. And I thought that was such an insightful thing to say. And you and I thank people for their service. And I thank you for this excellent work you do on the air. But there are so many people to whom we owe thanks, and we don't always think about that, do we?
No, we don't. And that's a really good point, Steve. And welcome to the show, John Jr. You're the guy who does all the work at the law firm now. Glad to have you aboard.
Thanks so much for having me, Denny, and great to talk to you again.
Steve, let's go back to you. Talk about your time in the Army, including your time in Vietnam.
All right. Well, I was commissioned infantry in 1960, and I went to Fort Benning. I drew the January assignment, a little cold, but no snakes. Anyway, I went from there to Fort Leonard Wood, and I pushed through. I went was in the reserves and the guard as I got rid of the engineer insignia, got artillery insignia, and was the infantry liaison officer for an artillery battalion. I had completed my military service, and I was by now a lawyer. And I was practicing law with my uncle, Wade Stevens, who was a pilot in World War I. And of course, as with my dad, on the back of his World War I victory medal, it said the war to end all wars. We thought it was, and yet here I am talking with a fellow Vietnam veteran and a son who's a veteran of Bosnia and Iraq, another son from Afghanistan. So it wasn't the war to end all wars. But anyway, I wanted to go on active duty. My obligation was completed. I was not in the military except peripherally, and I applied for active duty. And I applied for branch transfer to JAG. It became very important to me that the soldiers receive legal assistance. And so I applied for active duty, and Vietnam was accepted pending a physical. I failed the physical because of my blood pressure, but a friendly doctor wrote them a letter and said, "Nah, it was just a bad test. The blood pressure is fine." So I got in. I went to the short course at JAG school and immediately went to Vietnam. My first day there, I was chief defense counsel for the largest general court-martial jurisdiction in Vietnam. That was Three Corps, two field force, had 80,000 soldiers. I was also the foreign claims officer. Because of my willingness to try cases, I was requested and voluntarily went with cases in the 1st Infantry Division, the 82nd Airborne, the 101st Airborne, the 5th Special Forces, the 11th ACR with Colonel George Patton Jr., quite a character, the 199th Light Infantry Brigade, and a number of other units. I was always volunteered. Although I was JAG, I was in all four corps. I voluntarily went to some places where I saw some, well, the kind of action that gave me my 70% disability for PTSD. I saw that kind of action in the Angel Wing of the Cambodian border, a click away from Ho Chi Minh Trail. So, yeah, I saw a lot of action, and it was just my passion to help soldiers in their legal requirements. I also spent some time with the 3rd Marine Amphibious Force outside of Da Nang. And it was a pretty widespread practice. Now, it was a 2-year observation corps, and they offered me an RA commission, which I did not accept, but because I had done what I wanted to do. But while I was at the Presidio, twice I was requested by soldiers. Twice my boss said, you don't have to go. Twice I went over. So I've crossed the pond 3 times. That's why there's 4 little campaigns, those little stars they put on your campaign ribbon. And so, yeah, I have had a passion for getting legal assistance to our armed forces. So when I started my own law firm in Lincoln, Nebraska, you couldn't charge. It was a felony to charge to help veterans. I didn't care. I burned a lot of midnight oil, starting my own practice, supporting my family, providing for my family, and did an awful lot of free legal work for Vietnam veterans, not only in assisting them with claims, but if you're a Vietnam veteran and you've got a DUI and you can't pay for legal help, yeah, I'd go in and represent you. So,
John, I need to interrupt you. We've got 1 minute left. So okay. I need you to wrap.
My entire adult life has been dedicated to veterans. Okay, in conclusion, thank you all for your service. You asked me earlier to mention that on June 17th, Showtime will be airing the first segment of my book, The 12th Victim. Except for that, God bless you and God bless everyone who listens. And I'm so proud to have my son take over the practice. He's doing a magnificent job.
So you must have done a good job as a dad too, then, if your son's doing a good job.
It was the greatest pleasure of my life.
I believe that. Well, there's more to discuss about Barry Law, and both the father and the son are going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. It's time to run, troops. Run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Army veterans, father and son, John Barry, Steve Sr., and John Jr. about Barry Law and how they help vets. John, it's your turn. Give us a quick overview of your time on active duty.
Sure. So I went to College of William & Mary in Virginia. I was commissioned an infantry officer, went to Fort Benning, Airborne School, Ranger School. My first assignment was Fort Hood, 1st Cavalry Division. In 99, March of 99, we went to Bosnia. I came back, went to the National Training Center, and had an opportunity to go to law school. Now, the difference between me and my father was that when I went to law school, I stayed in the Guard, but did not branch transfer JAG. I stayed infantry as long as I could. And eventually, they moved me into logistics. After practicing law for, my third year in law school, I was given a company. So I was a company commander, and I'd been practicing for about 2 years. And I went to my battalion commander and said, you know, this has been great. I've had a great experience as a company commander. It'll help me build my law firm. But I think I'm done. I can't do both anymore. I'm working, 70 hours a week, and I've got guard weekends. I just can't do it. And as a commander, you work more than just the weekends, as you know. Yep. And so he said, no, that's not going to be a problem because you guys are getting deployed. So in 2005, I deployed to Iraq. I was a company commander. We were in Al Asad, Iraq. We were the Army team on the Marine Air Base. It was an interesting place to be, but a great experience. I came back, and shortly thereafter, they promoted me to major and made me the company commander in the officer candidate school. And then eventually, I became the battalion commander of the officer and warrant officer candidate school and just absolutely loved it. Retired after a little over 20 years with combined active and guard service. And that's where I am today. And we've always represented veterans based on the work that my father did. We support and defend the Constitution one person at a time, but we absolutely love representing veterans. And the reason for that is because they deserve our help, right? At the end of the day, a lot of people talk about entitlement and what the government owes them. By God, our veterans stepped up, and when they supported and defended the Constitution, we owe it to them to do the same thing and to fight for them to get them all the disability benefits that they earned. We don't do Social Security benefits. We only do VA disability, and we also do trial work. We're in the courtroom arguing criminal cases or injury cases. We love to get in there and support and defend the Constitution as lawyers because, let's face it, warfighting is a young man's game, and we're not that young anymore. At Berry Law, we've got about 100 team members, 40 of which are veterans, and most of us are either Marine or Army. We actually have 19 Marines, and so a few Navy, few Air Force, but mostly Marines. But I love working with veterans. We get to hear the most amazing stories from our nation's heroes. And so the other thing that blows me away is I'll meet a client, someone who I served with in Bosnia, or someone who we were on the same mission in Iraq, and it's amazing to hear the stories and to help people who have earned our respect, but more importantly, have earned these benefits and our government has failed them. And that's why we love to step up, hold the government accountable, and get our veterans the disability benefits that they have earned to help them, to help their families. And probably, most importantly, I believe that our veterans are our greatest national resource. You look at what happened during COVID when everybody else went and hid. If you want to see the real stories of who stepped up, it was the veterans who stepped up and helped their communities, helped rebuild their communities. Look, we've been there before, right? We've had to get the shots, wear the PPE, right? Wear that protective equipment, although usually it was in MOP 4, right? Worry about chemical attacks. And so I think, when we look at when our nation faces adversity, who's going to step forward? It's going to be the American veteran. And my hope is that we can get veterans the disability benefits they've earned, so that they can use it as a springboard to continue to serve our country. And I've had fellow service members who served in Iraq and Afghanistan come out, start amazing businesses. And a lot of them said, hey, if I didn't have those disability benefits to back me or my retirement to back me, I probably wouldn't have taken the risk. Or had I not had the leadership experience and the management experience that I learned in the military, I wouldn't be so successful leading my community or leading my company. So I think it is important that, we've got leaders that are coming out of the military, their batteries included, right? Unlike their civilian counterparts, we have veterans who are coming out ready to lead, ready to take charge. And it's our hope that at Berry Law that we can provide that springboard. If their families need help, by God, let's get them the help that they need. Let's give them the help they earn. But most importantly, and I think obviously we all know a lot of veterans who served during wartime who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And in my experience, talking with most of those veterans, it's losing the team. You can go through hell when your team is there, but then you come back. And where's the team, right? You come back and all of a sudden the team's been broken up. You're back at home. There's no platoon sergeant, no first sergeant. Your peers aren't there. And there's this sense of, kind of being lost and not having that support. But I think that as we, the veteran community gets stronger, our brothers and sisters are all around us. We just got to reach out. And we got to make sure that that happens more frequently than it has in the past. And I think that, once we see the veteran communities coming together, we certainly see a positive change. Later this month, I'm going on the Irreverent Warriors hike down in New Braunfels, Texas. A good friend of mine, a former Special Forces soldier, runs Camp Cowboy right outside of Fort Hood, Texas, which helps soldiers with PTSD and other veterans' disability issues, helps them recover and takes them to a nice ranch, start working as a cowboy. It's kind of the great thing about the military is there's something great about working the hell out of you that really helps your disposition a little bit and kind of helps you see the world in a different way. But more importantly, when you do that as a team, you bond, you grow, and you have brothers and sisters that will stay with you when you go through that adversity together. So Camp Cowboy, great organization. Irreverent Warriors, another great organization, and looking forward to joining them later this month. But I mostly just want to say thank you to all of our team members, Barry Law, and all of our brothers and sisters who serve and continue to make our nation great. I have to tell you that I come to work every day happy. I get to meet America's heroes, and I get to help them.
Thank you, John. That hits the nail on the head. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with John Barry Jr. about Barry Law. John, we got 1 minute left. What key points would you like our listeners to take from our talk today?
You know, if you're a veteran, you've got people to thank. And there's two ways to thank them. Number one is to reach out to them and thank them, but reach out and reconnect. Our veterans are a nation's most important asset. We have leaders that are underutilized. So I'd ask our veterans, if you feel like you're underutilized, you know, step up. Find your team members, build that team, and go out and build an amazing country. Because you have all the raw skills, all the raw tools. The Army's given them to you. You know how to use them. Go out, find that team, and execute.
And people can contact Barry Law by going to?
PTSDlawyers.com, as in post-traumatic stress disorder. PTSDlawyers.com.
And Steve, how can people get a hold of your book? Tell us that again.
My Vietnam memoir is entitled Those Gallant Men, and it was Book of the Month Military Book Club, and it may or may not still be available on Amazon. There's some of them out there. It's not a print, but there's some of them out there. And The 12th Victim, in which we write about somebody who was wrongfully convicted, that is on Amazon, and once again, it's Showtime will be showing it starting June 17th, a four-hour documentary. So, you know, our oath that you and John and I took to defend the Constitution, we do it militarily, but John and I also do it in every other way. And our representation of people is really, our client is the Constitution. May I add one thing to John said about our staff?
Please do.
Yes, we have a lot of veterans, but there's something else. We have daughters and sons of veterans. We have wives of veterans. In other words, maybe we only have 40 veterans, but I think everyone at that firm has some kind of interaction, whether through a father or a husband or a brother, and everybody brags about it. Not in a good way. And it was my honor to attend our Marine birthday party. Ate a piece of the cake, and yes, I had a sip of the port in the toast. And to my embarrassment, I was one of the ones toasted. I think when you get this age, people will raise a glass to you. But yeah, so we have an Air Force waiting room, a Navy conference room, an Army conference room, a Marine conference room, and we've had a dining out, and we celebrate the military. And John runs the law firm like a very well-run military operation. Everybody knows their responsibility. Everybody knows the principle of leadership to seek and accept responsibility. And John has turned this thing into a very well-oiled machine with clients in 50 states. And we're on the Inc. magazine, Law 500, and that is entirely through John's effort and our work on behalf of veterans.
Thank you, Steve, for taking the time to join us today and for your book and your service to our nation. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for everything.
And thank you, John, for your service and how you're helping vets today and every day. I'm proud to call you friend and brother.
Thank you, Denny. Same to you. And just like you, the oath never expires. We took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and we do that today. And I appreciate you getting this voice out there to let our veterans know that they are still our nation's greatest treasure.
Amen, brother.